to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 126 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. I hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. Unfortunately, no cool Minneapolis stories like I had last week. After last weekend being out of town, this past weekend was a much more laid back. Really didn't even get out of the house, except for a little bit on Saturday afternoon for a few hours. Ordered a pizza for the truck race Friday night, grilled some burgers in the freezing rain on Saturday. It has been unseasonably cold up here in Metro Detroit, but today is the first nice day in a long time, and the outlook looks good. 60s, 70s, I shut the heat off, finally, and I'm going to get Aaron to confirm all that later on. Hopefully this 40s and 50s nonsense in May is over. All right, what else? It is officially the countdown to MIS. There are only three more shows after tonight before the big bonus show Friday at MIS. PETM's going to be there. Yunker Motorsports is going to be there. Who knows who else is going to pop by? I just don't know. But I can tell you, it's shaping up to be a great show. That I will promise. Some unique segments are planned for that bonus show, which is going to be awesome. Cannot wait. And next week on the show, a little pre-hype show, if you will, for MIS, as MIS track president Rick Brenner is going to be calling in, along with a first for the Lap Traffic podcast. Someone from Firekeepers Casino will be calling in. First time ever a race sponsor is going to call into the show, which I think that's going to be really cool. Provide a unique perspective to hear the race sponsor side of things, what goes into race weekend from the sponsor side. I think that's going to be very cool. And also, next Tuesday, I will be giving away the three awesome prizes that were donated by Firekeepers Casino. I got two pairs of tickets, $100 gift card, autographs, swag, all of that donated by Firekeepers to give away. So thank you to everyone that's retweeted, to everyone that's followed. Keep it up for another week. It's been so much fun. I love it. All right, so next week, that's previewed. What's going on this week? Well, first off, if you did not enjoy the racing from this past weekend at Kansas, both the Truck and Cup Series, I can't help you. I can't. We had exciting racing at a mile and a half track. What more do you want? We saw maybe one of the better mile and a half tracks this year so far. Tire wear played a role, maybe not as big a role at a track like Atlanta, but it played a role. We did see some two tire stops pay off with, maybe 15 to 20 laps to go in stages. But, I enjoyed this past weekend. I thought it was great. Get into that here in a bit. Don't forget to check out Michigan Sports and Entertainment. It is the awesome podcast network that I am a part of. I got a clip from those guys during the social media segment. And a huge show lined up today from NBC Sports. Dustin Long is going to be on. I'm going to talk trucks and cup from Kansas, social media. Aaron's going to be on to talk the weather for the All-Star race. I got your lucky dog lap down picks, and as always, fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get this thing going. Let's get Dustin on the line. Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's a writer and editor for NBC Sports. He has also written for the likes of MRN and Sports Illustrated. Lap Traffic Nation, please welcome to the show, Dustin Long. Dustin, how's it going, man?
Hey, it's going well. Thanks for having me and for the nation for wanting to listen to me.
Absolutely, man. Glad to have you. How was your weekend?
It was good. I was not at Kansas, but obviously it was enjoyed the racing there. It was a completion of a really good day of racing on Saturday. It started off with the IndyCar Grand Prix from Indianapolis Motor Speedway on NBCSN. Really fun, interesting race, especially with when the rain was going to hit and when teams were going to have to pit for rain tires. And then obviously the great run by Simon Pagenaud to chase down Scott Dixon at the end and win that race. And then you finish it off with the race at Kansas Speedway, the Cup race. And, certainly an entertaining race. We've seen some wild restarts, but I don't know if it's been much wilder than what we saw Saturday night. Spectacular last lap, especially when you look at the move Eric Jones made on blocking Clint Bowyer, but certainly some well, fun action Saturday night to complete the day. So Saturday was, I hate not being at Kansas Saturday, but I enjoyed that I was able to watch Indianapolis and Kansas and really get my fill of auto racing on Saturday.
Nothing wrong with taking it in from the TV side of things. I'm glad you brought up the whole Clint Bowyer blocking thing, because I had that written down here. So let me get your take off the bat on that. If we're not in Kansas anymore, is Bowyer upset on that same move from Jones anywhere else?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a big move by Erik Jones. There's no doubt about it. If you go back and watch the tape, he was up high, and Alex Bowman was down below the apron on the front stretch. Jones was at least a couple lanes up, and Bowyer was in between, and Bowyer was kind of running down to along the line, and Jones cut way down from where he was, cut a couple lanes down to get in front of Bowyer. Well, then Bowyer saw it, and so he moved to the outside, and then Jones turned the wheel to the right and went back up the couple of lanes. So, look, I understand Clint Bowyer being upset. I would be upset if I was Clint Bowyer too. But if I'm also in Erik Jones' seat, I'm like, hey, it's the last lap, and, unless they're going to call some penalty for blocking, I'm going to defend my position as much as I can. Because look, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, obviously they're racing for second. Jones lost the position to Bowman through all that with blocking Bowyer, but you never know if the leader's going to have a problem on the last lap or something like that, and suddenly this could be the battle for the win or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. So, if NASCAR is not going to penalize something like that, and obviously they've stressed that, their preferences, they don't want to get into, as they call them, the balls and strikes calls. They want to settle on the track. That was a very big aggressive move by Jones. Okay, so everybody sees that. So now they think, okay, I can do that too, which is, fine. Now, if you're going to see restarts at the end of races, let's say there's a restart with two or three laps to go in the All-Star race or in the Coca-Cola 600, and now you've got some even bigger blocks, do you get to the point where NASCAR is going to have to jump in and say, look, guys, you need to calm down. This is how we're going to rule it. Right now, no. And based off of how they reacted and not doing anything in regards to what Jones did. So if I'm another competitor, I see that, and I know I can do the same thing. So we'll see what happens in the coming weeks and coming races. And if there's another situation where there's a restart late in the race, just how big the blocking becomes.
I love everything you said there. I love the balls and strikes analogy to calling blocking on the track. I think that's a great analogy. When I look at it, Erik Jones, he's the lone wolf without a win at that team too. That's biting out, that's gotta be encouraging for him, to go up and justify making that move. Hey, I don't want to be the only guy not winning at Joe Gibbs.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're on a Joe Gibbs Racing team, you've seen all the wins that they've had this season, and you're the one guy left out, and you're a guy in contract negotiations. And obviously, you're not dumb. You look down and you see in the Xfinity program is a Christopher Bell. And it's like,
right.
I need to make sure that I am a valuable source. Now, I mean, look, Erik Jones is a couple years younger than Christopher Bell. So, if you're Joe Gibbs Racing, do you really want to be, getting rid of one person who's younger, who's had a lot of cup experience? Yes, it's Christopher Bell. Yes, there's been a lot of investment by Toyota. Certainly there's been a good bit of investment into Erik Jones's career too. So it'll be interesting to see how Joe Gibbs Racing makes this work to where they can keep their hands on all these guys if they can. And look, if I'm Erik Jones, even if you forget about the Christopher Bell situation, just say, look, I'm the only guy on this team that hasn't won yet. I know what everybody's equipment is. I have the same type of equipment. I feel like I should be doing the same thing. So, I'm sure he feels, drivers put enough pressure on themselves for everything.
Sure.
I'm sure he's probably put some pressure on it. And look, he's got to go out and make things happen. And, again, you don't lay over on the last lap, especially if you're at the front like that, because what if Jones had laid over and let Clint Bowyer by, and let's say, Keselowski wrecks and all of a sudden Bowyer gets in the oil and spins, top two cars are out. Again, I know it's a rare instance, and this is maybe a ridiculous situation, but again, if that happened, and then you've allowed this guy to get by because you're just playing nice, and now suddenly you've lost the win and the opportunity to get into the championship. I was at a media event today with Jimmy Johnson, and somebody asked Jimmy Johnson, which would you rather win, the all-star race of $1 million or the Coca-Cola 600? And he said, without hesitation, the Coca-Cola 600. He's like, I want that berth into the playoff. I want that eighth championship. An all-star win's not going to get him into the playoffs and get him that opportunity to win a championship. So, you know, it's about winning the race and about getting that playoff berth. And that's why you make the block. That's why you do the things that Erik Jones did. And that's why, if you're Clint Bowyer, you're mad.
Sure.
I totally get it.
Absolutely. I'm with you. Dustin, let's go off track here a little bit. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself, how you got into covering NASCAR and at NBC.
I've been covering NASCAR since 1999. I'm originally from Indiana, so I grew up a big racing fan. My dad used to take me to some of the short tracks in Indiana. A lot of sprint car racing, midgets, Silver Crowns, things like that. And used to go to the Indianapolis 500 a number of times. My mom, back when I was in elementary school, took me out of school so I could go to Carburation Day, which, you know, one, it was cool to get out of school and two, to go to the racetrack. So, always a big race fan. After college, had jobs at other newspapers, covered everything from college basketball to the NFL and some NHL. And before getting with a group of newspapers in 1999 that included newspapers in Greensboro, North Carolina, Roanoke, Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, and covered the circuit through the 2011 season when I was laid off. 2012 was doing some stuff, and part of 2001 was also doing stuff for Sports Illustrated. And then 2013 started working for MRN, and the last 4 or 5 years have been at NBC Sports since they started back. So joined them shortly after they hired Nate Ryan, my colleague, and have been covering the NASCAR circuit. So I've been doing it since 1999, and I've lost track of the number of the hundreds of cup races I have been at. But I've been in everything from the 2001 Daytona 500 to the tire debacle at Indianapolis.
Oh, wow. I remember that.
The fantastic championship race between Tony Stewart, Carl Edwards at Miami, all through the years, and seeing, for the most part, just about all the big races and covered them all.
Awesome. That's incredible. So you mentioned covered a little basketball. I know you're a Hoosier, and me being a Wolverine, I'd like to thank you for beating the Spartans twice this year. That was fantastic. Appreciate that. Because we couldn't
get the only team. It's not the only team we could beat. So,
we couldn't get the job
help
done.
Help the neighbor out.
I think now
you have to worry about who your coach is going
to
be.
Oh, my God. I was so stunned when I heard that, you're kidding me. There was some rumor talk about that last year, and, it had quieted down. There really wasn't much talk about that. I never crossed my mind. I'm stunned. It's a bummer. It's been so much fun watching Michigan basketball the last few years, and I hope it's not a regress. I hope they're able to stay strong and develop the program, because Michigan basketball has been fun to watch.
As long as I can regress a little bit further behind Indiana, I'd be fine with that.
and don't get me started on Michigan football, because that's that's been a debacle, and we need to get. I'm not even going to go.
It's not a debacle until it gets down to the IU level, where you missed out on bowl games. So we're gonna get back to the bowl game. So
fair enough.
I'm looking forward to it. See what we can, what Indiana football can do, but certainly looking forward to basketball as well and down in Bloomington.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go back a little NASCAR talk here. Back to single car qualifying. Man, this past week Kansas, 11 guys fail pre-race. That's basically 30% of the field. That's got to be a problem, right? What's your thought on 30% of the field basically failing pre-race inspection?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes moving forward at some of these impound races. Was it just because it's, you know, some of these mile and a half there are issues, and we've seen cars fail inspection at mile and a half predominantly more often than other tracks? Was it something related to that this was the first time that it was single car qualifying with the impound where you were doing the inspection the next day? You weren't doing inspection before qualifying, but you're doing it the next day as the post-qualifying pre-race inspection. Is it related to that type of thing that, you know, trying to find some speed, you know, some people cross the line or what have you. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward at some of these other tracks, and we'll see down the road. It's not a good look when, what was it, 5 of the top 8 cars in qualifying,
yeah,
you know, lost their position and, you know, had to go start at the rear. Now, obviously, you can come back from the rear. We saw it at Dover. What was it? Chase Elliott was one of the ones that had to go to the rear at Kansas, and he was up toward the front. So, you know, you can't get back up there. It makes life a little bit more difficult. Obviously, if you're playing in some of the fantasy league games, that makes it a little bit more challenging. Or maybe you want to change your picks because I think what some of the games have passing points. Suddenly I might be trying to pull some of those guys.
Absolutely.
And went to the rear because it's like, hey, I'm going to get a bunch of passing points for this type of thing. So I don't know. Again, it's not a great look. It's frustrating for a lot of fans. You know, NASCAR certainly is not thrilled with the conversation before the races. X, Y, Z, A, B, C, all failed inspection, as opposed to what the race is going to be like or talking about the race. I mean, in one sense you are, but you're talking about, you know, people who can't, who are unable to pass inspection. And
sure,
it's just not a good look. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what NASCAR does after this season, if they tighten the clamps or what they do in terms of how they do it, or will they try to do some things to where just going to do inspection afterward and then have and not do the impound. And then let the crews work on the car race morning and then back and inspect them again. So you don't have that. You know, the challenge is when you have the impound and you're doing the inspection the day of the race, like you did at Kansas, like you did at Richmond, like you did at Martinsville, it's one failure and you lose your qualifying times disallowed.
Sure.
And, you know, for a race, you know, now if you do a pre and post qualifying inspection and then the next day you're doing the race inspection because you've allowed them to work on the cars, then it's, what is it?
Three?
Two attempts, you know, two failures, third attempt.
Yeah.
Two failures was it that that you go to the rear. So, you know, again, it's, we'll see where what NASCAR lands and see how the rest of the season goes. If cars start, you know, pass inspection all the time, it's not an issue, nothing to worry about. If it's 11, 12, 13, 14 cars, 15 cars failing inspection, well, then something needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. So we've raced four mile and a half tracks this year, three if you exclude Atlanta, which I kind of think is an outlier mile and a half track. You know, we've been to Vegas, Texas, now Kansas. We've seen a little bit different racing at all 3 mile and a half tracks with this new rules package. And we've got Charlotte, Chicago, and Kentucky still to go before we start circling back to some of these tracks for a second time. Do you think we're going to see anything different? Like I said, it's been some unique racing at the mile and a half tracks. Is Charlotte going to play out kind of like how I think everyone's thinking it's going to pan out? Are we going to get the miracle race that we had last year at Chicago? What's your thoughts there?
I don't know. I mean, I think partly, you know, I think one of the key issues is just what the tire's like. You know, if the tire doesn't wear, that changes strategy. If the tire wears, that changes strategy. So, you know, you say Atlanta's an outlier, and yeah, in one way it is. But what was the big difference with Atlanta and like a Kansas, for example, is Atlanta, the tire wore out.
Sure.
At Kansas, it didn't wear as much. So Kansas, you could do, you know, you could stay out when others pitted, or you could do a two-tire stop, or you could do something a little bit different. At Atlanta, you couldn't. Atlanta was four tires and go. So, you know, I think bottom line, people talk about this, is it's as much about the tire and what the tire can provide and what you can, the grip you can get out of it, and how much of a fall off particularly there is in helping the package. And I think there's several things to make it all work together. I think the tire is certainly a key element. I mean, it'll be, you know, I'm kind of interested to see, certainly interested to see what happens at Charlotte. But, you know, one track that really intrigued me come up is the one in June in Michigan. You know, they're just the speeds that they've had. And obviously, well, the horsepower package will change that. But just, you know, should be probably carrying more speed in the corners. They'll be pretty much flat. Is it, you know, that's the track where some people kind of wonder, hey, is this going to be, you know, how chaotic is it going to be on a restart? How grouped up are they going to be? Are they going to stay grouped up for a little bit longer? I mean, obviously at some point they're going to get spread out, because handling it over a long run is going to play an impact. And if you have to, even if you have to burp the throttle, if we're racing each other and you have to burp the throttle and I don't, well, then I'm just going to steadily pull away from you over a 20, 30, 40, 50 lap run. If my car's handling better, even if the package is created for us to run together, if you can't get your car to handle, you know, there's no package that's going to keep us together that tight. So, you know, I don't know what to expect, because it's like, you know, some of these races you kind of thought, hey, this was going to happen, and it didn't, or sometimes it did, and it was even more than what you thought, or what. So I'm just going to be intrigued to see how this plays out as the season goes on.
Sure. No, I'm with you. You know, you mentioned tire wear, and I think people lose sight a little bit, especially this year. It seems like people have lost a little bit of sight just on how important tire wear is, just because the focus has been on the package and, you know, what we're supposed to get versus what we've gotten and anticipation and all that. You know, and I think that's a great point to bring up, just in terms of how important tire wear is, mile and a half tracks specifically, because you do tend to get those longer green flag runs, which, you know.
Well, think about this, too. You remember, and I'm blanking here, remember the year Regan Smith won the Southern 500?
Mm-hmm.
And how did Regan Smith win the Southern 500? And that was back in an era, it must have been after the repave of the work that they did there. There wasn't as much tire wear. Well, Regan and that Furniture Row team stayed out on a late caution. And I think there was a buffer between him and Carl Edwards, who was like the first car out with four tires. And Edwards couldn't get to him in time. And you know, there was a case of, you know, a track at Darlington that once wore the tires and just wore them more and more. So whenever there was a caution, you came down pit for four tires. Even if it was three laps later, you came for four tires.
Yep.
And then after the repave, it kind of changed. But then now that track is kind of, you know, evolving to where, you know, tire wear is playing a greater role. It's you know, you stay out on two tires, you're going to get run over before you get to turn one or turn two. So it just kind of depends on how the track goes and how it cures and just what you know, how the impact of the weather and so forth and the conditions and things like that. So yeah. Over time. And so, you know, there'll be a time where Kansas will be, you know, will wear tires out. Now, is it going to wear it out to the level of Atlanta does or Darlington has? I don't think so, unless they just go several years without, you know, repaving that track or another track like that. So, tires are important, because those are the four things that connect the car to the track, and a lot is riding on those tires, literally.
Absolutely. So through 12 races last year before the All-Star break, Kevin Harvick had 5 wins, Kyle Busch had 3, and Martin Truex had 1, and it was the start of the big three hashtag from last year. through 12 races this year, Kyle and Brad have 3 wins apiece. Hamlin and Martin Truex have 2, Logano and Chase with 1. We are seeing some incredible dominance with Penske and Joe Gibbs. 11 out of the 12 have been their claim to fame. Halfway through the regular season already, do you see these guys staying hot? If you had to rub the crystal ball, who might be the team or the guy that might be able to heat up over the summer and give them a run for it?
Well, that's what I'm going to be interested in, because you look back at it and, you know, as you said, at this point last year, nobody was really talking about Joey Logano. Nobody was talking about Brad Keselowski and Team Penske. Keselowski would go on and win 3 races in a row, win at Darlington, win at Indianapolis in the regular season finale, then open the playoffs with the win at Las Vegas last year. Obviously, Logano, it was the big 3 and Joey, and Joey was the one who wins the championship race in Miami.
Yep.
I'm going to be intrigued about who does pick up. Is it one of the Stewart Haas cars? Is it Hendrick Motorsports? And frankly, if it's somebody like Chase Elliott, if I'm a competitor, I'd be nervous, because I think you've seen how that team has picked things up in the playoffs in previous years and really performed well. And if they start, you know, scoring some more wins, scoring a bunch of playoff points, you know, that's somebody that
sure,
you would have to keep an eye on. Is Hendrick Motorsports at that level yet? I'm not sure. I still need to see a little bit more out of those cars, out of those teams, before I'm ready to say, hey, this is who it's going to be. But yeah, I'm just intrigued to see. You know, again, is this the season? You know, Ryan Blaney hasn't done much. What is Ryan Blaney the Brad Keselowski of 2019 that is the guy that nobody thinks of and all of a sudden pulls off 3 wins in a row? Now, again, Keselowski didn't win the championship, but he certainly put himself in a position early in the playoffs. Is it somebody like him? Is it somebody at Stewart Haas Racing? Is it somebody else that kind of pops out of nowhere? Is it Eric Jones? I mean, again, we talk about Eric Jones. You know, is Eric Jones the guy who all of a sudden it clicks in the middle of the summer or something like that, and, you know, starts scoring wins and playoff points and putting himself in a good position to where, you know, we look back at, you know, we'll get to August and he's got 3 wins and 20 playoff points already, and we're thinking, wow, it was only a couple of months ago. We're wondering, what's wrong with Eric Jones? He can't win when everybody else has won. Now he's got as many wins or more wins than anybody at Joe Gibbs Racing. I mean, you don't know. Or is it a case that somebody just goes on a run? It's really been interesting so far this year with as few winners there are, and it makes you wonder how many people will make it on points in the playoffs. And, you know, as we're about the halfway point of the regular season, if I'm a crew chief of a car that hasn't won, how am I game planning races now? Am I thinking more about points? Am I thinking more about going for stage points and the stage wins? Because I'm going to need those, because it's difficult to win the races, because 1-2 organizations are dominating and my team might not be there, but I can put my car up there for some stage points or something like that, knowing that I may need to get in on points. I mean, you know, you look at a guy like Jimmy Johnson, he's 16th in points right now. I mean, obviously he wants to win, but at what point do they have to say, you know, if we can't win, we've got everything out to get as many points as possible. And sometimes that'll mean, you know, staying out when everybody else pits shortly before a stage break and hoping you can hold on and get some stage points to help you in the cause to make the playoffs. So I don't know. It's really going to be fascinating to watch. Typically there's somebody that gets hot. There's somebody that cools down that's been hot. You know, who's going to be the car that cools down all of a sudden?
Absolutely.
Denny Hamlin's had a rough patch here. You know, does he pick it back up and get some more wins and puts himself in a better position for the playoffs than what he is already? Or, you know, does their run of bad luck continue and all of a sudden they start sliding further down?
Man, a lot to digest there, man. And I'm with you on all of that. You know, you look at Chevy, you know, they could potentially have something. You know, Bowman's 3 top 2s. Chase has a win. You mentioned Logano, you know, it's, and you got Stewart Haas winless, you know, 12 races in without a win. I would not, if I had to make a bet pre Daytona that, you know, is Stewart Haas going to be winless 12 races in, I'd have taken no and put a lot of money down on that. So, like you said, it's going to be fun to watch. I think the summer racing here is something to definitely keep an eye on. That's for sure. All right, I got one more for you. We are headed to the All-Star race. I have not been shy over the years. I am not a fan of All-Star anything, regardless of the sports. I'd rather see skills competition type stuff than an All-Star format, whether we're talking baseball, basketball. It really doesn't do much for my palate. How about you? Are you a fan of All-Star sports and All-Star racing?
So what would be the skill competition you would do instead of a race or the All-Star race?
I don't know. Like,
if you were going away with a race,
well,
what
do
you do that would be a skill competition that would create enough interest to have people come to the track and people watch on TV?
I love the qualifying piece of it. I love that, you know, they involve the pits in that regard. I think that's a cool facet. I'd like to see, you know, individual, you know, who can – pit crew challenge, hell, do a quarter mile drag strip with the car, something different than just, you know, running more laps to hand a check to somebody. I lose
interest. They used to do that pit crew challenge in downtown Charlotte, and you know, with my understanding, it just wasn't as profitable just because not enough people were coming out. It was a really great concept. A lot of fans loved it because, it's great. They're rewarding, you know, giving some publicity to the pit crew guys, but you know, nice ideas, don't pay bills.
Fair enough.
You know, bottom line, I mean, you know, was it good intentions? Don't pay bills. I'm sorry. You know what? We can say, hey, let's do something for the pit crews. It's like, hey, that's great. And most of the fan base will be like, hey, this is awesome. It's a great idea. Let's put the spotlight on these pit crew guys. And if nobody shows up, what's the point?
Sure.
You know, you can say what you want on social media, but if you're not going to back it up by showing up and attending the event, then, you know, why have it?
Sure.
You know, it still costs to get to that arena. It still costs this and that, you know. And somehow those bills have to be paid. So, I understand. You can make the argument, hey, it's an all-star race every week because it's the same guys racing each other every week.
Sure.
No doubt about that. And, you know, I think what NASCAR has now tried to do and, you know, is basically use this as kind of glorified test session, but, you know, kind of a test session with using, you know, kind of giving previews or looks at what things could be done to the cars in the past, you know, in the future, and even some, you know, format ideas from stages to the double file restarts and things like that. So in that sense, the All-Star race has certainly served its purpose by being like a breeding ground for new ideas that have gone over to the Cup, over to NASCAR racing from, like I said, the double file restarts, stage racing, to the package and that's being run this year and so forth. So in that sense, it serves its purpose. All-Star race, you know, when it first started racing for $1 million, that had a little bit more of a kick than what it does now. $1 million still $1 million. Okay. there's still some, you know, that, but it does. I mean, it still means something. But, you know, when it started, what, 85 or so, $1 million was like, you know, that was tremendous for those teams because the purses were not as large, the payouts were not as large back then at a lot of the other races. So if you won that, that was, you know, that was almost like winning a major race type of thing because of the payoff. So that's what made it a big thing early on, and you saw some of the spectacular events that have happened through the years in it. Now it's kind of changed a little bit. There's still been the two moments where a few years back, Matt Kenseth tackling Brad Keselowski in the garage. I mean, look, that was wasn't that an All-Star race, if I'm not mistaken?
It was
at Charlotte. Is that another, was that a points race? But I mean, my point is, we've seen some different things. You know, was it Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin had contact, one got knocked into the wall during an All-Star race, if I'm not mistaken. So you know, there have been some things that happened. It's you know, trying to find it in some ways, trying to find its identity, or trying to, you know, just try to stand out a little bit more. It's tough for any all-star event like you talk about. I mean, the Pro Bowl in football is a joke. Sure. You know, Major League Baseball, the All-Star Weekend, probably the most popular event is the home run hitting contest as opposed to the game, because now with the game, you know, that used to be such a big deal because it was like the only time you see these. Well, it was the only time you see these players together. I mean, but now with interleague play, you know, if I go up to a Chicago Cubs game, I can go see the American League team come in. And I can go see those all-stars from Boston or New York or Baltimore or something like that. So it's kind of, you know, interleague playing baseball kind of taken away from the specialness of the all-star game. You know, the NHL all-star game is kind of a unique thing with the three-on-three style, and that's kind of a fun thing to watch. But again, you know, people say, well, it's gimmicky. Well, yes, it is. But you got to come up with something a little bit different to make it offset from the regular season. And, you know, that's what you want. That's what, you know, in that format, that's what you want this all-star race to be. Stand off on its own, be different from the regular season. And it is, to some degree. It's a little bit different. Are there other ways to change it? Maybe there are. Maybe we'll see more changes in the future. Maybe there's, at some point, there's a venue change. We'll be better at one venue over another, as opposed to being in Charlotte. You know, could it be a place to run at Fairground Speedway in Nashville if NASCAR can get there? Is it something to run at another short track instead? You know, my colleague at NBC Sports, Jeff Burton's always talked about, hey, go take the all-star race to like a short track and go do it there. Go run it like a South Boston or Nashville Fairground Speedway or someplace like that. You know, go back to grassroots racing. And, yeah, so you can't get 50,000 people there because the place isn't big enough, but you get enough of a crowd there, and you make it a special event because it's something different, and maybe you move it on to someplace else the next year, and you truly make it a unique, special event. And in that way, it creates its own identity even more.
I like that last part, you know. Your own identity. It's got to be its unique brand and stand alone. You know, you mentioned, you know, they tried to do some different things with the format of it. And you know, you mentioned kind of like a test session there for futuristic type packages and things of that nature. And that's definitely a plus and a valid point there. I didn't put it into that perspective when, you know, you're just sitting there watching a non-points race and it's like, oh man, why aren't we at least racing for something that counts? That's always been my biggest thing. It's like, it doesn't count. Like, you know, I ain't getting the paycheck, you know, it don't count. But, you know, those are obviously 100% valid points in terms of the usefulness to the all-star race there. Absolutely. Dustin, I have kept you much longer than I said I was going to keep you, so I apologize about
that. Oh, no worries.
Tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
At Dustin Long on Twitter. It's at Dustin Long, D-U-S-T-I-N-L-O-N-G, all one word. Follow me on there. You look up my professional page on Facebook, and I also post stories there as well.
Excellent. Fantastic.
And you read all the copy. And you read all the copy on NBCSports.com/NASCAR, along with my colleagues Nate Ryan and Daniel McFadden and Jerry Bonkowski.
Excellent. Dustin, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. Really appreciate it. Maybe run into you at MIS or Chicago here in a couple weeks. Would love to shake your hand and talk further, for sure.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me. The pleasure is mine, and I just appreciate being asked to be on the podcast.
Absolutely. All right, Laugh Traffic Nation, big thanks to Dustin Long with NBC Sports for coming on the show tonight. Sir, it was fun, and we'll do it again soon. How cool was that interview with Dustin? Man, you could just a wealth of knowledge there. That was incredible. Passionate. I love it. Fantastic. I think he said he was going to be at MIS, so definitely look forward to meeting him, getting him back on the show soon. All right, 39 minutes in, I haven't even talked any racing yet from this past weekend, so I'll cut it down here a little bit for an essence of time. You guys let me know. I know the show's been running about 90 minutes or so as of late. Is that too long? Are you guys cool with that? If you're cool with it, I'm cool with it. I got nothing else to do on a Tuesday night, so I'm down. You guys tell me if you're down with that length of a show. I can try to keep it to 60, 70 minutes, but, there's just so much to talk about.
And beyond, I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
I'll try to create time. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. All right. What do you say? Let's talk some racing from Kansas this past weekend. All right, over to the Truck Series. Stuart Friesen picking up the Stage 1 win and the Stage 2 win. Unfortunately, finished 15th. Ross Chastain, though, brings home the checkered flag and what was a emotional and fun and exciting finish to the race. Crafton on the pole. After starting in the back last week, getting up to the front, having some issues and having to fight back to the front, was able to finish P5 last week. Starts this week on the pole. Unfortunately, only able to hold it for about 8 laps and was never able to get back to the front, but had a pretty solid day, finished 6th. Enfinger started 13th and up to 5th in just 3 laps, and that was not the last we heard of him on Friday night. Friesen able to make the pass on Matt Crafton on about lap 10 and really never looked back for the first two stages. Sauter with some issues on lap 22, limped around pit road. That impacted a lot of lap traffic fantasy players there. First caution out when the 51 Brandon Jones goes around on the track with 15 to go in stage 1. Friesen and Moffitt on the front row for an 11-lap shootout there. Friesen able to hold on, pick up the stage 1 lead over Moffitt by about a second. Top 4 off pit road on 2 and no tires, which was surprising. Enfinger and Moffitt first off on 4 tires. Creed and Hill on the front row to start stage 2. Enfinger, keeping it interesting, took it 3 wide on the restart. Ross Chastain to the top 10 in every truck race this season, and that continued tonight, that's for sure, or Friday night. Decker went around, took a hard spin through the infield on lap 13 of stage 2. Restarted with a few to go there. Ross Chastain and Creed on the front row. Enfinger able to make the pass to take the lead from Creed with about 7 to go. Friesen back to the lead by passing Enfinger on the bottom, picks up the stage 2 win. Friesen and Enfinger on the front row to start stage 3. Enfinger on the bottom. I was surprised Friesen gave him the bottom with how much he was using the bottom. Enfinger was just able to work it down there. But Friesen kept it side by side. But eventually, Enfinger was able to clear for the lead. Green flag stops with 42 to go. Friesen comes out ahead of Enfinger because he left the box early when the team was going to take 4 tires. He left after 2, and turns out he did not have enough fuel. Basically cost him the race right there. It was his race to lose, and you would have to think that he was going to get it done. Creed with a tire down with 30 to go, but it was able to stay green. But the caution out as the 24 of Moffitt goes around with 29 to go. That also impacted some lap traffic fantasy players there. And Enfinger with a tire rub had to bring it down too. Chastain and Friesen battling it out with 25 to go on the restart. Enfinger restarts 11th, back up to 7th with 23 to go. Moffitt drops to 11th, and another yellow back out with 20 to go as the 33 of Rayum goes around. Friesen and Rhodes on the Ben Rhodes on the front row with 16 to go. Friesen able to clear, but ended up having a pit for fuel, and Chastain was able to make the pass on Ben Rhodes and bring home the checkered flag, which was, like I said, it was a pretty exciting finish there to the truck race. Some notables: Friesen, after having the dominating truck, finished 15th. 3 rookies in the top 12 with Burton, Ankrum, and Dipple. And 3 females on the track for the truck race. Angela Rook finished 16th, Jennifer Jo Cobb 23rd, and Natalie Decker 25th. Truck standings: Grant Enfinger still in first, Brett Moffitt in second, Friesen in third, Ben Rhodes in fourth, Sauter fifth, Crafton sixth, Austin Hill seventh, Harrison Burton wraps out the top 8, and Todd Gilliland still on the outside looking in. Maybe he can get it done when the trucks are back on the track this weekend with another Friday night race in Charlotte at 8 p.m. I keep forgetting about this truck race, though. You guys know I love the trucks. I keep forgetting. I think it's just the All-Star race. But fortunately, it's not just the All-Star race. We get the trucks Friday night, which is awesome. All right, Xfinity Series. Last week, like I said, show went a little long, so I skipped the standings in the Xfinity Series. knowing there wasn't an Xfinity race this week, so I'll run down the standings real quick there. Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, Austin Cindric, Justin Allgaier, Chase Briscoe, John Hunter Nemechek, Ryan Sieg, Noah Gregson, Mike Lynette, Justin Haley, and Brandon Jones are up out the top 12. And there are four rookies that are in right now, which I think is just incredible. The Xfinity Series off this week with the All-Star Race, but we'll be back on the track next Saturday, May 25th in Charlotte. All right, let's talk a little Cup. Kevin Harvick, Stage 1. Chase Elliott, Stage 2. Brad Keselowski, the winner. Definitely spread it around a little bit there, which was exciting to see there. And sorry, guys, I got one more drop for you. I got to do it. Kurt Busch dropped an Allen Iverson. We're talking about practice, man, with Andrew McCutcheon's pre-race.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Oh, I've heard that. I don't even know how many times. I still laugh every time I hear it, and I'm not going to pass up the opportunity when it just works its way into the show there. Thank you, Kurt Busch, for allowing me to play that one. Let's see here. Castle, Elliott, Almirola, Ty Dillon, Martin Truex Jr., Joey Logano, Michael McDowell, Suarez, Larson, Gase, Hill, all failed inspection. You heard Dustin and I talking about that at the top of the show. 30% of the field, man. When you think about it from a percentage standpoint, it's just mind-boggling. 30% failed. Something's got to give. Got to do something about that. Harvick out to an early lead with it 3 and 4 wide, which was exciting. Tough day for Kyle Busch. Loose all day, unable to get to the front, and failed to set the top 10 record. Personally, I don't think he cares about the top 10 record. He cares about one record. That's top ones, not top tens, top ones. Cop caution, saw some strategy, saw a lot of two-tire stops. Harvick gave up the lead, restarted 10th, but with the first out with four fresh tires, and I think tires played the perfect role this weekend, to be honest with you, which is something we haven't seen in a while. I thought tire falloff was pretty decent. Tires were important, as we saw, the fact that Harvick on four was able to make up ground, restarting 10th on the restart. Took him all of about 10 laps to get back to P1. 20 to go in stage one, and the 11 of Denny Hamlin brings out the caution. Issues for him, it seems like, week after week. Yet somehow, dude's got two wins. Like, are you kidding me? Leaders down to pit road. This time, Harvick took two tires, restarted 10th, but was enough to get past those that stayed out with 15 to go after a good battle with the 9 of Chase Elliott, who made his way back up to the front after starting at the back after his qualifying time was disallowed. Kurt Busch and Harvick on the front row for the start of stage two. And man, these restarts, 3 and 4, obviously that's what NASCAR wanted with the restarts. So, all right, cool. We're good there. It's a little bit of the racing aspect that I think still needs a little bit of work. But in all fairness, I thought the Kansas race was one of the better races of the year. Everyone talks about, you're not going to have that jaw-dropping or heart-stopping race each and every week, but I thought this one was up there pretty good. First half, stage two, pretty mellow. Harvick able to get back out front, decent 2 to 3 second lead, but some solid racing too on back for stage two. Stage two saw our first set of green flag pit stops halfway through the stage. And how about Martin Truex Jr.'s bump to Suarez to get to pit road? Get out of my way there, sir. The end of stage two set up much like the end of stage one with Harvick and Chase battling each other. Chase able to make the pass on Harvick this time and pick up the stage two win and another playoff point. Harvick and Blaney on the front row for the start of stage three. Harvick able to pull out front again. Looked like it was going to be his race to lose. And with about 74 laps to go, an unscheduled pit stop to remove the tear off from the grill. Was just never able to bounce back. He was able to eventually get back on the lead lap, but a little too late for the four car. That said, when he came down to pit road, it gave Bowman the lead. Man, led some laps as of late. That 88 car is starting to show some speed, momentum, much like Chase Elliott. Long green flag run, stage three, 60 to go. Some surprising names in the top 10 at a mile and a half, such as Stenhouse, Buescher, Jones, Newman. But caution out with 49 to go as a lone tire made its way across pit road and into the infield. And that meant also more troubles for the 18. Couldn't make the adjustments they needed in stage two on the stop. And late in stage three, drove through too many pit boxes for a penalty there. Restart with 40 to go. Some HMS boys, Elliot Bowman on the front row, flip-flopping for the lead. Another caution with 27 to go for debris as Blaney, who'd been loose, looked like he finally cut that tire. Restart with 23 to go with Stenhouse, Newman, Keselowski all battling three wide. 10 to go. Bowman still out front, but Keselowski with that short run speed that he is always seems to have was too much for Bowman and was able to get the lead with 6 to go. 5 to go. Matt D brought the yellow out, set us up for an OT shootout. Keselowski able to hold on to get the win. Some notables from this one. Harvick 13th after having a dominating car. Both races this past weekend, trucks and the cup race, the dominant car did not win the race. Friesen and the trucks finished 15th. Harvick and cup finished 13th. And Bowman, man, how about that? Impressive third, second place finish. I think we got ourselves a new bridesmaid, folks. It was Larson. But not anymore. It's definitely Bowman the showman. Larson, though, with another top 10. Tyler Riddick with a solid ninth place. And how about Chris Buescher with a top 10 and was top five with about five or six to go there. And Ricky Stenhouse, you know, he takes a lot of heat, but he ran a solid race and also finished with a top 10 there. Over to the standings, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer, Ryan Blaney, Eric Almirola, Alex Bowman, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, Kyle Larson, and Jimmy Johnson wrap up the top 16. As I mentioned earlier, 12 races in. Penske, 4 wins, JGR with 7. They've won 11 of the 12 races so far. That's just unbelievable. But the teams can maybe regroup. All-star race, all-star break, whatever you want to call it. Saturday, 8 o'clock in Charlotte, which, Dustin pointed out, there are definitely some key features that the and purposes that the all-star race serves, without a doubt there. So talk about the all-star race next week. It's time for a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter at LapTrafficPC and on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Just search The Lap Traffic Podcast or NASCAR. Subscribe, download, leave a review. Don't forget about the two giveaways going on. The first at 3,500 followers on Twitter, less than 90 to go. I'll be giving away the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress along with some Lap Traffic swag. And next week, the big MIS Firekeepers Casino ticket giveaway. I got two pairs of tickets, a $100 gift card, plus some Joey Logano autographs and some swag, all donated by Firekeepers Casino. Just keep retweeting that. Get the word out about that. And speaking of some new followers over on Twitter, Sean Elliman at GiantsFan929 from Westland, Michigan, an Army veteran. Thank you for your service, sir, and a U of M fam. Go Blue. Mackenzie at Mackenzie Cove from South Carolina loves to tweet about NASCAR. Mackenzie, join in on the live tweets, that's for sure. Stacy at Mad Dog 5355 from Indiana, proud Dale Jr. fan. And Matt at Van Beelen M from DeWitt, Michigan. Carrie at Carrie Steiner 12 from Nebraska and a big fan of the 88. Thanks for the follow, guys. Hope you like the show. Tell your friends. And don't forget, if you want a sticker or a koozie, visit the website, fill out the contact page, and I will send one out to you. Don't forget about the Freddy the Pizza Man Autism, the official charity of the Lap Traffic Podcast, 501c3 charity here in Detroit, which also will help Yunker Motorsports. Check out the link on the website for that as well. All right, business is done. Let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell on the line. Lap Traffic Nation back again for his weekly weather report. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web, raceweather.net. The wonderful Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, sir. I'm doing well. And yourself?
Oh, just another day in paradise, my man. You know, living the dream. Hey, it's I got to shut the heat off when I got home from work today. And we're going to get to that. I got beef about Michigan weather with you here in a minute.
Oh, come on. I thought it changed every 10 minutes. What's the deal?
36
you're changing every 10. You're changing every 10 minutes has been, oh, it's raining. Okay, it's raining harder. Okay, it's raining. Okay, it's raining harder.
Right? 36 years here, you'd think I'd, you know, be accustomed to this by now, but it still gets just as frustrating every year. All right. We got a lot to talk about. We've got some weather, some NASCAR, some news out of Ann Arbor. Are you ready to dive in, sir?
You wanted to talk NASCAR on this call? You didn't send that in the show notes.
All right, let's talk Kansas first. Get that out of the way. Little cloudy. Rain moved out after I know Kansas got pummeled there for about a week or so straight, and we went racing Friday and Saturday, which was pretty nice.
Yeah, we had a situation where the rain came in after the truck race. We actually had rain earlier in the week, and then it stopped for the truck race, and then rain after the truck race, and then they cleared out in the afternoon. And it was funny because I was out, and then I actually put a poll up and said, hey, I missed it. I know who won. Do I watch it? And between I watched stage three or watched the whole thing or don't bother. I think 9% said don't bother. I'm like, okay, I know what the race really was. So you just really must hate NASCAR.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So I watched stage three. I kind of fast forwarded through the rest, but I remember when they showed Keselowski and they showed the infield, how much ponding was on the infield. If somebody would have lost it coming out of four, it would have been a major mud mess and just torn up the front end of that car.
Well, we saw that on the truck race a little bit when Decker went through the infield there. And
I did miss that.
All right, let's some good and sad news out of Ann Arbor the past couple days. I was all excited about our new football recruit, J.J. McCarthy, a four-star from Illinois, number two in the quarterback class coming in 2021. Obviously, it's still early talking about recruits in 2021. But it's nice to be able to talk football in May, sir.
Yeah, the quote I saw about him is he throws like Breeze and moves like Baker. So that's high praise and excited about it. But then, you know what? We have seen enough recruits, enough four or five stars that never pan out. Dorian decommit.
Absolutely.
And you're looking at that's a concern because it depends what he's going to see on the field. Is it wins and losses? And here's another one. Michigan hasn't had it. I mean, we have put quarterbacks in the NFL before, but other universities have better track records of getting quarterbacks to the NFL than Michigan does.
Right.
So if they have mediocre year, but if they go another year and don't have a quarterback go to the NFL, we got Patterson there now, but I'm not convinced he's NFL talent.
Right. Who was the last Michigan quarterback that actually, the one that's coming to my mind is Chad Henne. Like, and he didn't even do that much in the NFL. There hasn't been a Michigan quarterback since Chad that really.
Yeah. And I think Henne and the, before him, I think Gerbeck.
Yeah.
And there's who's backing up at Detroit.
Oh, start with an R. I think it starts with an R.
Okay. Well, the third string guy backs up. Yeah. So that's we don't have a great track record.
Rudock.
Yeah. There you go. So we don't have a great track record getting quarterbacks to the NFL.
No.
And you look at a place like Oklahoma, Alabama. Trying to think of another place that Purdue maybe even
Ohio State.
Yeah. With Haskins.
Yeah.
So you have other teams out there that have better track records of getting quarterbacks at pros, and Michigan has another disappointing season. Is nine and four disappointing season? I think for Michigan standards, it is.
Yeah.
And
I was talking with a couple guys last night. The Notre Dame game, for me, that's non-conference, so it doesn't impact my outtake on things as much. But you've got Harbaugh. Fifth year, these are all your guys now, and you've got OSU and MSU at home. You have to beat them. You have to.
The over-under for wins the season is 10.5.
Well, that's pretty high. Vegas knows what they're doing when they set those things.
So. Yes, and that's true. I mean, people are going to walk through and walk game by game and then look at talent, look at you know, who's coming in and who did they lose and where they're going to be at that point. And I hate to be a pessimist. It's not really in my nature, but I'm just not feeling 10 and a half. I mean, they're going to – something's going to happen.
Sure. Yeah, I think 10.5 is very high. 9.5, I might want a little action, but 10.5.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The big question too is, you know, Harbaugh in his fifth year, supposed to be the quarterback guy, hasn't developed anybody yet. This could be his potential first guy to come through that he can develop from scratch. But if we have a disappointing season in Harbaugh's fifth year, is Harbaugh even going to be there in 2021? That's another potential question.
I would like to think so, but it's again another case. I might lean no.
Yeah.
I'm thinking there's a good possibility, and this will segue to the next topic real quick. He can be lured back to the pros. There's going to be a lot of programs out there who want him, but then his act wears thin in the pros like it did at San Francisco.
Sure. Well, like you said, segue there, man. Sad news. Was not expecting to log on to, the computer yesterday and get a pop-up that Beeline is leaving our beloved basketball. I was so taken aback by that. And then to go to Cleveland, like, come on, man.
I got that on my watch, and I'm like, and I know it's true. Okay, I got pushed for it, and I'm kind of like pondering that. It just really didn't sink in for a few minutes. I'm like, it's 5-year deal, financial terms undisclosed. Unless I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I know he was doing about 3.5 at Michigan. You know, so you would have to think. You know, are you going to leave for anything less than 5, 5.5?
That's the number I'd kind of pick out. Throwing numbers out, I had no idea who was 66.
Yeah, I didn't know he was 66 either.
Yeah, I'm kind of doing that. So at the end of a 5-year deal, he's 71.
Yeah, right. So this is very well potentially his last, you know, go around, you know? So.
Theoretically, yeah, it's his last stop. Yeah, as a Michigan alum, a Michigan fan, I'm disappointed, but really, I understand.
I get it. My thing is, you know, Michigan basketball was off the map for so long, and the last really 6-7 years, Beeline's been there 12. You know, he gets all the credit for putting, you know, the Michigan basketball program back on the map, so close to, you know, championship appearances, came home empty-handed, but they had some recruiting as well coming in that, you know, might look at decommitting now just because of the fact that Michigan was becoming, you know, a powerhouse in Big Ten college basketball and consistent Sweet 16, Elite Eights, and some Final Four appearances. That could change the dynamic of Michigan basketball, too.
Well, you covered a lot of things in that paragraph there. I actually looked up the Michigan State head-to-head under Beeline. He was 15 wins for State, 10 for Michigan, and then but also 3 losses by Michigan in the last 21 days of the regular season of the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, I remember that. That ain't going anywhere anytime soon. So,
I feel bad for the recruits. They may sit on their hands and wait till they know who gets named as a replacement and feel bad for the current players. But, you know, look at the kids in the program. They know well better than us. This is a business.
Absolutely. Yep. Alrighty, sir. Michigan weather, sir. It's May 14th, and it just cracked 70 degrees today, and we've had that. But it looks like we're finally going to get a stretch here of consistent temperatures above 60. What the hell took so long?
You're averaging about 3.5 degrees below normal for the month. It's a little bit wetter
like
than normal,
10.
But
feels like
I know 10. It does. I was looking at that. You had before today, and I'm not sure what your low was. Look at what low was today. Your lows have been in the 40s the whole month.
Mm-hmm. And the highs have barely cracked mid 50s.
And a little wetter than normal. But the difference is, it's not like you've had cloudy, rainy days, sunny days, cloudy, rainy days, sunny days. This has been cloudy. It's like it's been raining, and it's been raining harder.
Yeah.
And it's cloudy, but not raining, but it's still ish.
Yeah, exactly. Well, today, the sun came out this afternoon, which was nice. And
the sun will be out through into the end of the week.
Yes.
Rainy Friday, Saturday. Low pressure center going across Ontario. Drags a cold front across. You'll get some cooler temperatures behind that. But for the week going into Memorial Day, so you get to do barbecue prep.
Absolutely.
Highs in the 80s for the first part of next week.
Nice. I like that. All right. You're forgiven. All right.
Okay.
We are headed to Charlotte for a few weeks here. First up is the All-Star race that I was trying to rush through last week. What's the All-Star race looking like? Oh, and the truck. I
was going to say, our favorite series.
I know.
I've
done that twice.
The North Carolina Educational Lottery 200, 250, 200, something 200. Like that. Thank you. And I need help when I get it. I got a lot of numbers going around here. We are dialing up summer for the Carolinas this weekend. Mostly clear skies, highs in the low 90s.
Woo. Woo.
So 91, 92 Friday and Saturday. Sunday is off. Kind of humid, but the heat indices will be manageable. Race time temperatures, low to mid 80s. That's both days. So if you're going and you're there all day, you're camping or whatever, sunscreen, hydrate. And what we decided last year, thank you.
2-1.
Two what to one what?
Well, I mean, it depends whether you're a seasoned vet or, you know, you're an amateur hour, you know. So if I would say if you're under 26, it probably should be two actual hydrations to one alcoholic hydration. And if you're seasoned, you can flip that.
Okay, there we go. And the more you know.
Yeah,
the more you know.
Absolutely.
Because we are science oriented on this show.
Yes.
We will educate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So that's this week. Next week, busy week, sir. Make sure you get it dialed in for we got Xfinity, we got Cup, Indy, and hell, let's throw in Monaco since
we will do a little F1 talk, and I'll have to wake you up when I'm done.
Yeah.
Come on, it's got four wheels and goes fast. I do not know what
I'll
you
just
want.
Put you on mute.
Racing.
You can roll, and I'll do the rest of the show.
I thought, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you want. Four wheels and it goes really fast.
Right.
Around corners, they turn left and right.
There you go. There you go. All right, everyone. Make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web at raceweather.net. Sir, we'll talk to you next week.
It's always a great time. We'll talk.
Always great to catch up with Aaron, but now you know what time it is. It is time for the Lucky Dogs of the Week. You guys know what to do. Make sure you tweet or call the Wave Around Hotline each week after the checkered flag drops with your lucky dog and lap down picks from the weekend. You can tweet at LapTrafficPC or call the hotline 248-965-9538, and I will play your calls back. Get you a little social media activity as well. I'm going to get right into my picks, my lucky dog for the race weekend. Ross Chastain and Alex Bowman. How can you not? And my lap down. Sorry, I got to go outside of NASCAR. My lap down, Coach Beeline, leaving Michigan. I'm so hurt. What am I going to do? All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. David at DFlint14's lucky dog, Alex Bowman, 3 second places in a row and showing his talent. Lap down every spotter on the roof for forcing NASCAR to race 3 laps of caution so the restart wasn't 4 wide. Let's see. Mick Rose at GoDucks42_Mick. Brad Keselowski figured out how to get it done. Lap down. Blaney seems to be on a streak of bad luck. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog Bowman. 3 bridesmaids in a row and Chastain for that save in the truck race. Lap down Hamlin. If it wasn't for bad luck, he'd have no luck the past couple weeks. I see what you're doing there, sir. NASCAR Banter at Banter NASCAR's lucky dog. HMS is back. Be afraid. Lap down NASCAR on Fox. Yet another botched broadcast. Horrible commercial timing. Completely muffled the restart coverage by having the camera on the bumper of the car. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons, lucky dog Tyler Riddick. What a Cup debut. Ran with the big dogs all night. I couldn't agree with you more there, sir. Lap down Kyle Busch. The streak ends with a 30th place finish. I think he's still looking for the finish line. It's a good one. Clayton at Joey Logano Fan 22's lucky dog Ross Chastain, winning the truck race at Kansas, running in all 3 series, haven't missed a race. Dude is definitely running, that's for sure. Let's see. Lap down all the teams that failed post-qualifying and pre-race inspection. There shouldn't be that many that fail. I agree completely. Pixie Doodle at Pixie Doodle's lucky dog, Chris Buescher, for continuing to impress and be the part of the little team that could. Lap down Blaney for just not having the season that he or anyone else has expected yet. Jared at GTM0086, lucky dog, Tyler Riddick, lap down Bubba Wallace. Jesse Rose at Iowa, NASCAR fans' lucky dog is Reddick. Solid top 10 run, outran his teammates all night. Lap down, Stuart Friesen. He's found about every way to lose a truck race. It does seem like that. And John at D Nader's lucky dog, Todd Gilliland, finally had a great finish. He's had a lot of bad luck this far so far this year. Lap down, Almirola, usually a dark horse at Kansas, and he was nowhere to be seen. Hashtag searching number 10. Hashtag number 10 not found. Those are your tweeted responses. Thank you so much, guys. Let's get to the calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I only saw half of the truck race, maybe not even that much, so I really can't comment on that, but I thought the cup race was great. I like to watch comers, goers, and mishaps, and I got all of that on Saturday night. Unfortunately, the four was a goer, but otherwise I really enjoyed that race. It was fun watching Stenhouse have such a great run. He sure got a lot of camera and, you know, talk time on TV, and it wasn't for the usual wrecky Stenhouse, you know, goings on. He got an 11th place finish, so good for him. I enjoyed that. I, you know, watching him race, I kept thinking, you know, wait for it, but it never happened. So again, good for him. I'm going to give my lucky dog to Ross Chastain for the truck win. With all the races he's doing this year, I think he's done every one, hasn't he? You know, he's bound to get one, so I'm glad he got rewarded for that, you know, all that hard work. And my lap down this week goes to you, my friend, for nearly giving me a heart attack. I saw the fantasy results, and I look at my name, and it had no pick on it, so I got 0 points, even though I did send in my email. But, you know, Mick does such a great job all season long, you know, managing all of this. He deserves a vacation, but not if this is what's going to happen out of it. And I had two really good picks, too. I had Boyer and Crafton, and they got decent finishes. But you did fix it, and you responded very, very quickly to my panicked message. So I appreciate that. But anywho, that's all I got for now. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thanks for calling. All right, so first off, yes, I think everybody was on their seat waiting for something to happen with Stenhouse. And like you said, it never did. Great pick with Ross Chastain there. And wow, I think that's my first lap down nomination. Wow. I'm kind of honored, actually. And I apologize so much. I knew something was going to happen. Like you said, Mick does a flawless job. And so Mick was at the Kansas race, so I took over the duties for taking down everybody's picks and all that, and had a couple mistakes because normally all I have to do is just copy and paste the picks into my spreadsheet and sort it largest to smallest and for the standings and post it on the website. But yeah, so I apologize about that, and I will take my lap down nomination. All right, let's get to caller number two.
Hey, Brandon, John Warrington at Racing_64. Kansas was a blast. We were down there. The beer was cold. The weather was okay, but the racing was great. Awesome to see Ross Chastain finally get through and get that truck win. And at the same time, such a bummer for Friesen to miss out again. For the cup race, it was amazing. I don't know what it looked like on TV, but where I stand inside turn one and two, the restarts were absolute crazy. They were everywhere, four wide, feet and banging on each other. The cars were real stuck to the ground, so even when they would hit, nothing would happen. So they've got so much control over them. But the amount of guys that were up front that weren't normally up front was awesome. He had Stenhouse had such a strong car. Buescher was up there all day. Tyler Reddick ended up being a big part of it at the end. It's too bad for Bowman. Again, three straight second place finishes. That kind of sucked. But at least it wasn't Kyle Busch winning. So for lap down, I'm going to give it to Starcom Racing. As you know, I'm a Landon Castle fan. The last 3 weeks, they get about three quarters of the way through the race and they have fuel pressure problems. Same thing 3 weeks in a row, getting really annoying. So that's going to be my lap down. They need to get that figured out. And for Lucky Dog, I'm going to say Ross Chastain finally getting that truck win. Good to get that off his back. I guess Ross Chastain's really come a long way in the last 2 years. And how do you cheer against a guy like Chastain? So, that's it. We'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Hey, John, thank you so much for calling in. I love when people call when they've been to the race that weekend. It's awesome. You definitely hear the excitement in everybody's voices when they're just getting back from a race. So that's awesome. Thanks for calling in. And like you said, it was awesome sitting in there in turn one. It was cool on TV. I could only imagine what it looked like in person seeing those guys diving into turn one there. So thanks for calling. Definitely appreciate it. Got one more on the Wave Around Hotline. You guys know who it is, Mr. Andrew Kansian.
What's up, Brandon? I'm back from my one-week hiatus that I unfairly, got called out on last show, so I might boycott this show. Kansas was probably one of the best races of the year. It's what we wanted to see with this package. Not what I wanted to see with this package, because I still don't like the package. But great race nonetheless. Really some different names up at the front. In Bowman, Recky Spinhouse was up front. Harvick was up front, which is a little bit of a change this year. He hasn't, had the speed that we're used to seeing out of the four car, but it's not a team you ever want to sleep on with him and Rodney. Great race, no wrecks, which is disappointing. Not that I want to see people get hurt and wrecking, but wrecks are a part of the show, and they make the show more entertaining. But like I said, still a really fun race to see. People were saying it was the best mile-and-a-half race they've seen in years, and I'm thinking we just saw, I think, the best mile-and-a-half race ever at Chicago, so I don't know where people must be watching two different races. I'm going to give my man Alex Bowman the Lucky Dog. Three runner-up finishes in a row. That kid's going to get a win soon. I'll be really happy when he does. I've been a big fan of his ever since he was running in that shitbox 23 car. Lap down, let's go with Jimmy Johnson. He had a good finish, yes, but that team was really out to lunch, out to dinner since it was night out. For a good portion of the race, they just kind of got a lucky break there. And obviously Brad got, strategy. Brad wins another strategy race. Him and Paul Wolf are like the strategy kings out here. So Jimmy's going to be the lap down. I want to see a little bit more speed out of him. And I'm a lap down for forgetting to call last week because I was probably bombed all week. I was bombed all weekend and just totally forgot to call in. So you have a good one, bud.
Mr. Andrew Kansian, thanks for calling in. Definitely don't boycott the show. Don't do that. All right. Let's see. You had a lot of good points to hit on there. It was a great race at Kansas. It was a fun race. I think that's a good word to use, fun. I think Chicago was definitely our best race we've had at a mile and a half in a long time last year. But I would say this is probably second or third in terms of racing at mile and a half tracks that we have had. You mentioned Kevin Harvick not having the speed this year. They had it, and I think they might have been up there for contention. But hey, we'll never know. You mentioned Jimmy Johnson having some issues there. All fantastic points. And even guys like Recky Spinhouse, like you said, we're up at the front. So that's always cool to see when you got some new guys to talk about in the top 10. At a race, especially mile and a half. All right, that is going to do it for the Lucky Dog and Lap Down part of the show. It is time to get over to the Fantasy and close this thing out. There are only two races to go in segment one, so make sure you get your picks in 5:00 Eastern Standard Time on Friday. One player with the truck win pick and three players picking Brad Keselowski. Lots of swings and misses with Sauter this past weekend. Week high was 106 by Danny Litwin. Second place week high was 91 by Mr. Brett Morris. My picks of Rhodes and Almirola scored me a whopping 61 points. It's like, why bother even at this point? Over to the top 10 in standings. New leader Greg Whited with 1,220. Rob Keplinger slips back to second with 1,197. Matt Crowd dips back to third with 1186, and the MOATF podcast is up to fourth with 1178. And I have gotten confirmation. They have accepted the challenge to call in to kick off the picks for segment two here in a couple weeks. So stay tuned to that. Brad Carnes is in fifth with 1175. John Entwistle in sixth with 1173. Jess Rose in seventh with 1166. Ted Anderson in eighth with 1158. Two-way tie for ninth with Mick Rose and Rob Nebinger with 1108. And John Warrington, who we just heard from a little bit ago, wraps out the top 10 with 1106. Don't forget, this week with the All-Star Race, you're going to pick your truck driver like normal and get normal points. But for the All-Star Race, it's winner take all. If you pick the winner, you get an extra 15 points. If you don't pick the winner, goose egg for the cup race. So winner take all there. Mick will put that in the email as well when he sends that out to everybody. And let's get our new leader on the line. 12 weeks in, and after being in the top five the last few weeks, making some consistent picks and getting some solid points each week, we have a new leader, Mr. Greg White. Greg, what's going on, my man?
Just hanging out, having a little Bud Light Orange this evening.
Excellent. Fantastic. So, Lap Traffic Nation, Greg is a firefighter out of West Virginia. And, sir, thank you for your service. That's it's a selfless profession to be in.
Actually just volunteer out here when I have time.
That's awesome.
Just recently, actually completely promoted to captain recently. So things going pretty well here. We had a stint with a pretty bad storm that came through a couple weeks ago. We had 17 calls in 2 hours, so that was hectic.
Wow, man, I don't even know how you manage something. How do you manage something like that? How do you prioritize something like that?
Well, basically, what we did that night, it was just we had three trucks out, so send everybody to one at a time, prioritize them, put them on a list, whatever comes first. You know, like we had some power lines laying on some houses and things like that. We had a trampoline in the power lines around the corner. My house actually received some damage. So once we got all the emergency out of the way, we came over here. Crew got on the roof and fixed my place up too.
Wow. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, they're calling it a microburst. They won't call it a tornado. So,
did you get to take in any of the racing this weekend?
I did. Got most of the cup race in. I didn't get to see much of the trucks.
What'd you think?
But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was actually pretty well.
Yeah, I would definitely say it was probably one of the better races we've had so far this year. That's for sure.
I haven't been able to catch all of any of them so far. Just pretty busy with all these kids running around here. But this definitely, I thought, was a pretty good race.
Absolutely.
Pretty good action.
Absolutely. Greg, you got a 23-point lead going in to the All-Star race. Can you hold on for two more weeks?
Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
I love it. What do you say we make some picks? Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We are headed to Charlotte for a couple weeks, where this weekend we will see who the All-Star is and what All-Star will bring home the mighty big paycheck. Kevin Harvick, who dominated the spring race last year, also brought home the All-Star win last year. He's got one non-points win so far from the duels this year. Can he add a second non-points win at the All-Star race and maybe get things going for the number four team? Kyle Busch won the All-Star race back in 2018, his first and only All-Star win. And Martin Truex Jr., who dominates at Charlotte, is still searching for his first All-Star win. Those three names sound pretty familiar to last year, don't they? What about Chevy? Well, they've won the All-Star race since 2014 with Jamie McMurray. They did, however, win it three in a row from 2012 to 2014. And some other guy who's got a non-points win this year, Jimmy Johnson, won it back-to-back in 2012 and 2013. Who will take home the money? We'll find out Saturday night. But first, it's time for our picks. Greg, let's start with the truck race, man. Who do you have for the truck race?
I think I'm going to go ahead and take Johnny Slaughter in the 13 truck.
Sauter for the rebound. I like that. I am going to go with Grant Enfinger. Dude had a stellar car or truck this past week at Kansas. I'd like to see him get a win. Over to the Cup Series for the All-Star bonus pick here. 15 points for the winner. Nothing for second on backs. Or who are you taking for the All-Star win?
Well, you mentioned the Chevrolets, and you mentioned the back-to-back winner there, so I'm going to take him. I'm going to take 48 with Jimmy Johnson.
Ooh, I like that. Jimmy Johnson for two non-points playing wins this year. I am going to go with Martin Truex Jr. It's hard not to. Dude's bound to get one eventually. But I like your picks there, sir, very much. All right, Lap Traffic
Nation. It is hard not to go against a Toyota and Truex, but... I just got a feeling.
I like your strategy. I see where you're going with it. Lap Traffic Nation, those are our picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take. Greg, thanks so much for calling in. And who knows? Maybe we'll talk to you again next week.
I hope so.
All right, brother. Sounds good. Take it easy.
All right.
We'll see you. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 126 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, the Lap Traffic Podcast. Like on Facebook, the Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go check out Freddie the Pizza Man's Autism Charity link on the website. Contest giveaway next week, that huge giveaway, tickets, autographs, swag to MIS, man. Go get in on it. Retweet, follow, all that good stuff. Can't wait to give that away next week live on Periscope before the show. Big thanks to Dustin Long from NBC Sports, Aaron Studwell, and Greg Whited for calling in. Next week, MIS track president Rick Brenner will be calling in along with race sponsor Firekeepers Casino. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!